You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Watergate, the Iran-Contra affair and the Clinton-Lewinsky scandal. The United States government is no stranger to embroiling itself in political controversy. The hearings into the January 6th insurrection at the US Capitol are set to resume in mid-July. However, yesterday the committee reconvened for an unplanned surprise hearing. Maria Armudian is a senior politics lecturer at the University of Auckland, and I spoke to her about what we're learning about the insurrection from these hearings, started by asking how comparable the January 6th insurrection is to other major US political scandals.
I don't think it's really comparable because of the scale and the scope of the violations in this case. With Watergate, as you know, there was the break-in to get the information from there was a lot of bribery, and yet Nixon, when he was caught, resigned. He didn't try to maneuver a coup. So it was nothing like what we are experiencing today.
These hearings are not a court of law. However, they could open Donald Trump and his allies up to an investigation by the Department of Justice.
Congress has a role, and part of that role is informational and investigative, right? There are investigative committees for multiple purposes that deal with good governance, that deal with other kinds of governance, that deal with policy issues. Their job is to investigate. And this is a very serious governance issue that needs to be investigated. Now, you're right, it's not a criminal investigation. However, if there are law enforcement bodies that do see a crime and see that there is enough evidence of a crime, and there are, don't forget that there are these law enforcement offices that are looking into some of the crimes, including the one in Georgia, for example. A district attorney in Georgia is investigating the potential crime of Donald Trump trying to get the Secretary of State to so-called find the vote. You know, that is a fraud, too. You can't manufacture votes. So there is a criminal investigation there by a district attorney in Georgia. And then, of course, there's the Attorney General in the United States, and they've just raided one of the attorneys to get all of the emails and text messages to find out exactly what happened. So we don't know what's going to happen. Will there be a criminal investigation? It looks like it's starting to appear to at least see if there's a case to be made.
The key testimony of the day was that of Cassidy Hutchinson, who was an aide to Donald Trump's chief of staff from 2020 to 2021, Mark Meadows. Hutchinson has been cooperating extensively with the committee behind closed doors, however was now to face live questioning about what knowledge and involvement Trump and his allies had of the insurrection prior to it taking place. Cassidy Hutchinson recalled that following Election Day in 2020, Director of National Intelligence John Ratcliffe told her that Trump's refusal to accept defeat by Joe Biden could spiral out of control and be dangerous for our democracy. 4 days prior to January 6th, which was the day that the Electoral College was set to certify the election results, Hutchinson spoke about what she had heard from Trump's allies regarding the planned march to the Capitol.
As Mr. Giuliani and I were walking to his vehicles that evening, he looked at me and said something to the effect of, "Cass, are you excited for the 6th? It's going to be a great day." I remember looking at him and saying, "Rudy, could you explain what's happening on the 6th? He had responded something to the effect of, "We're going to the Capitol. It's going to be great. The president's going to be there. He's going to look powerful. He's going to be with the members. He's going to be with the senators. Talk to the chief about it. Talk to the chief about it. He knows about it." After Mr. Giuliani had left the campus that evening, I went back up to our office and I found Mr. Meadows in his office on the couch. He was scrolling through his phone. I remember leaning against the doorway and saying, "I had an interesting conversation with Rudy, Mark. Sounds like we're going to go to the Capitol." He didn't look up from his phone and said something to the effect of, "There's a lot going on, Cass, but I don't know. Things might get real, real bad on January 6th.
Another key revelation made was Donald Trump was aware that many of his supporters who were gathered for a speech near the White House were armed with weapons, and that security measures were stopping these armed supporters from getting to his rally.
Of course, the world now knows that the people who attacked the Capitol on January 6th had many different types of weapons. When a president speaks, the Secret Service typically requires those attending to pass through metal detectors, known as magnetometers, or MAGs for short. The Select Committee has learned that people who willingly entered the enclosed area for President Trump's speech were screened so they could attend the rally at the Ellipse. They had weapons and other items that were confiscated: pepper spray, knives, brass knuckles, tasers, body armor, gas masks, batons, blunt weapons. And those were just from the people who chose to go through the security for the president's event on the Ellipse, not the several thousand members of the crowd who refused to go through the mags and watched from the lawn near the Washington Monument.
When the president was informed that many of his supporters couldn't make it into the premises due to the magnetometers, he said that he didn't care and to let them in anyway, as they weren't going to hurt the president himself. This is how Hutchinson recalled that conversation.
Something to the effect of, take the effing mags away, they're not here to hurt me, let them in, let my people in, they can march to the Capitol after the rally's over, they can march from the Ellipse, take the effing mags away, then they can march to the Capitol.
Let's reflect on that for a moment. President Trump was aware that a number of the individuals in the crowd had weapons and were wearing body armor. And here's what President Trump instructed the crowd to do.
We're going to walk down, and I'll be there with you. We're going to walk down. We're going to walk down. Anyone you want, but I think right here, we're going to walk down to the Capitol.
The storming of the Capitol, the insurrection, and him wanting to help them, you know, by taking away the metal detectors and leading them to the Capitol, going to the Capitol, and the whole thing around persuading Mike Pence to, you know, take another fraudulent action. All of those are damning in the big sense, but then there are all these other little ones that are happening, like the defrauding of his supporters by getting their money and then using it for himself. So there's just so much. It's unbelievable. And the thing about, you know, Richard Nixon and Watergate, which I think is the only comparable one really, is that, you know, there was a lot of bribery. He was shaking people down in order to get their support for his presidency. And then there was the break-in and paying the plumbers to break into the Democratic headquarters pales in comparison to what we're seeing today. And then, you know, he was caught. It was realized, and he said, okay, I'll resign, because he didn't want to get impeached. Donald Trump has been impeached twice, and he still hung in there, and he still tried to take another term by coup.
Hutchinson also relayed a story told by Tony Ornato, a Secret Service official and deputy chief of staff. According to Hutchinson, Ornato told her that following his speech, when Trump was in the armored vehicle, also known as the Beast, he was told he could not go to the Capitol to join his supporters. The president was allegedly irate, lunging at Ornato and trying to take control of the steering wheel. This is how Hutchinson recounts that moment.
When the president got in the Beast, he was under the impression from Mr. Meadows that the off-the-record movement to the Capitol was still possible and likely to happen, but that Bobby had more information. So once the president had gotten into the vehicle with Bobby, he thought that they were going up to the Capitol, and when Bobby had relayed to him, we're not, we don't have the assets to do it, it's not secure, we're going back to the West Wing. The president had a very angry response to that. Tony described him as being irate. The president said something to the effect of, I'm the effing president, take me up to the Capitol now. To which Bobby responded, sir, we have to go back to the West Wing. The president reached up towards the front of the vehicle to grab at the steering wheel. Mr. Engel grabbed his arm, said, sir, you need to take your hand off the steering wheel. We're going back to the West Wing. We're not going to the Capitol. Mr. Trump then used his free hand to lunge towards Bobby Engel. And when Mr. Ornato had recounted this story to me, he had motioned towards his clavicles.
The committee heard of Trump's fury at other moments, including when his attorney general, William Barr, told the Associated Press that there was no widespread electoral fraud. In response to Barr's assertion, Trump reportedly threw his lunch against the wall, with Hutchinson also describing how she helped the president's valet mop up the spilled ketchup. The shocking evidence we were given yesterday provided an account of an out-of-control leader losing grip on power and refusing to give up despite it all being a big lie. Section 4 of the 25th Amendment of the US Constitution allows for the vice president to declare the president unable to do his job. Should the evidence we've been given have been enough for Mike Pence to invoke this part of the Constitution?
Yes, well, I mean, if you're asking my opinion, I felt like earlier on in the presidency, there could have been a case made for that. So, yes, I would argue yes. But, and I understand Nancy Pelosi tried to persuade him to do that in a phone call, and that he just felt like it wasn't quite time yet.
In their 10-month-long investigation into the insurrection, the House Select Committee has interviewed more than 1,000 people and reviewed more than 125,000 documents. The committee will reconvene in mid-July to continue their hearings. A big thank you to Maria Armudian for speaking to me this morning from New York.
You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.